We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From Learfield, it's time for the official Wildcat Podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group, the K-State Superstore, and Kansas Land Tire. Now, with more than 45 combined years on the K-State Sports Network, here are your hosts, Wyatt Thompson and Stan Weber.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Wildcat Podcast Weekly. I'm Wyatt Thompson with Stan Weber. Our podcast is brought to you by BriggsAuto.com, by the K-State Superstore, and by Kansas Land Tire. The K-State football team is headed to the Cactus Bowl in Arizona on December 26th against UCLA. We'll also talk about Kansas State basketball on today's podcast. Stan, we start with some news that came out in the middle of the week about Kansas State's coaching staff. Dana Dimmel will become a head coach at the college level for a third time. He has accepted the head position at UTEP, the University of Texas at El Paso. We're going to hate to lose the guy, but we also congratulate him. Dana, a good guy, and again, a third opportunity to be a head coach, and that's great for him.
Yeah, I'm very happy for him because when you're in your mid-50s, you cannot compare to what we know about Bill Snyder. Around K-State country, we're like, hey, Coach Snyder's in his upper 70s, and we think he might be able to continue. We hope he continues as the coach at K-State, but that is not normal. When you're near your mid-50s, like Dana Dimmel is, you don't get many opportunities, and he is going to get another chance right here. He did a nice job at Wyoming, then became the head coach at Houston, and now a chance to be with UTEP, and there's a lot of room for improvement. You remember Scott Frost. Scott Frost was a young and up-and-coming coordinator. He didn't have a lot of experience, but coordinated a little bit at Oregon, went over to Central Florida, and inherited an 0-12 football team, and here he is 2 years later. They're 12-0, and now he's going to be the next head coach at Nebraska. Well, you don't think that those things are normal, but Dana Dimmel is going to get an opportunity to take over the next 0-12 team. So UTEP is very poor at their football program, but that just means that they're going to be able to implement a lot of things that Coach Snyder and K-State does and that Dana Dimmel will continue on, and they'll have a real chance to bounce right back. And who knows, best-case scenario, Dana Dimmel could be wanted again in the coaching world as a head coach. So I really congratulate him for getting the opportunity to be able to run your own program and thank him for what he did at K-State in the second tenure, in the first tenure. Heck, he was one of the first coaches introduced as a GA. He had finished his college football career playing when I did, was a GA, and went to Bill Snyder when he came in and not have to leave. Coach Snyder was able to keep him. He was there during the first tenure before he left to be a head coach, and then he's been here the whole second tenure coordinating the K-State offense. So I really appreciate what Dana has done and what he has meant to K-State football. But I'm really excited for him. Anytime you see a guy get an opportunity to step up and be a head coach, no matter where it is, a lot of people are going to go, well, it's just UTEP. Well, you know, if UTEP goes 8-4 and 8-4 in the next 2 and 3 years and are doing some things like that, people won't be saying, oh, UTEP. There's a lot of neat things. The Sun Bowl Stadium is where they play. They have some facilities that could work. You just got to get the winning going. And I tell you what, you apply the Bill Snyder system, I think there's a high likelihood that you're going to get some winning done. So congratulations to Dana, and it's going to be interesting to see what that means to K-State football. What decisions does Bill Snyder make about who takes over the role that Dana Dimmel did, running back coach, tight end coach, offensive coordinator? Who is going to do those things? When are they going to do it? And will remain with the football team to call plays and be a part of the offense for K-State in the bowl game? We'll see. These questions are just all right in our mind unfolds.
Well, it's an interesting scenario, and we wish Dana the very best. But as you mentioned, one game to go. He will coach in the Cactus Bowl against the UCLA Bruins. And I know you're starting to study UCLA a little bit. One thing that jumps out at you is the, or at least for me, is the fact that this is a football team that is quite, well, I'll say it, porous against run. The run defense numbers are not good for the Bruins, and hopefully that's a big advantage for Kansas State.
Yeah, you hope so. And K-State's going to have to do that work and make them pay for that. But you reshuffle the deck a little bit, Wyatt, when you sit around and you get a view of tape for a long time. And we'll see what UCLA's attitude is, because Jim Mora was in L.A. And when you're a head coach at UCLA and you're on the hot seat, that seat is very wild and crazy. And Jim Mora is a guy, as the head coach at UCLA, who is willing to take on all comers and you know, have confrontation. I think there was a lot going on behind the scenes and in the locker room with Coach Mora battling through this season. There were disappointments here and there. Then they lost to USC at the end of the season, and that's always a giant game there. But now Mora has been left from his duties, and so he's not going to be the head coach there. And it really, a lot of this is going to come down to UCLA's mentality. I think if you look at their talent, Wyatt, you see that they've got extremely high-level talent, from a quarterback that may be in the first round, you know, to his athletes on the defensive side can obviously get it done. But it's a matter of coordinating, doing everything right, getting your fits. And they weren't doing that during the regular season. But I think there was a lot of distraction going on. Is the distraction Kelly is now named the new UCLA head coach, but he's sitting over there working on recruiting, putting his staff together, not necessarily directly preparing for K-State. You know, you've got all kinds of mixtures, a Chip Kelly, a Jim Mora, L.A., talented players, interim coach. I don't know what we're going to get with UCLA. I hope we get to see some defense like they did earlier this year, stopping the run, because K-State will have a good time running the football against them if they continue to do that. But I just wonder how it's all going to play out, and we got to be prepared. I think K-State fans need to be prepared. I always am. I call it the danger factor, Wyatt. What happens if the team you're playing that one day played their best game?
Right.
How good would they be? Because you got to be prepared for that. And when you see UCLA playing its best and those guys playing without distraction and using their physicality and athleticism, you got a pretty good team. So that's what I'm expecting until otherwise. I hope at the end of the first quarter I'm going, hey, Wyatt, this team's very distracted. Chip Kelly on TV, the players are up looking at him. They're not looking at the field. You know, I'd love to say that about the Bruins, but I don't know. That's not what I'm counting on when I watch the tape. I look at their potential rather than some of the production.
Yeah, certainly that potential. I got an opportunity to watch part of the UCLA-USC game, and granted, it's their big rival, but, boy, they played USC tough right down to the final moments of the ball game. So we certainly look forward to the Cactus Bowl on December 26th, and we'll talk more about it as we get a little bit closer. Now let's switch to K-State basketball now. The Wildcats off to a pretty darn good start to this season at 8-1, that lone loss out in Vegas to undefeated Arizona State, who is now ranked in the top 25. And in the last week, K-State, I think, has made kind of a statement, Stan. They went on the road Sunday, beat Vanderbilt 84-79, played terrific basketball, in particular in the first half, kind of had to hang on late. But to win that game, I think, really helps the old resume. How do you see that, and reflect back on the game a little bit, and what were the positives from your perspective?
Well, I think that you mentioned the word helping their resume, and that's always important to remember, because the Arizona State game was a good game, but it was a loss. So that's all the committee's going to look at. Now, it might be a quality loss as Arizona State plays out the season, but it's still a loss. The Vanderbilt game, much the same. You went on the road, played an SEC school. A team has made the NCAA tournament each of the last two seasons, and the Wildcats really outplayed them early. No one cares about that on the NCAA tournament committee, but they came back and finished off the game. Never trailed in the second half, even though it was close. Made winning plays, 22 of 24 free throws, 58% of the field, a ton of mid-range shots. K-State played very good on the offensive end, and the NCAA tournament committee looks at the resume and goes, thumbs up, nice win. That'll be there forever. But the other thing, in addition to the resume, Wyatt, is the confidence that the team may have gotten. When I saw them come out and play in the next ball game against USC Upstate, a little different to me. There's a confidence level, a confirmation that we're no longer youngsters anymore. The three main players are juniors now in their third year of starting, and they did something significant. They took on a crowd in Vanderbilt that was really getting into the ball game and making a difference. All the momentum in the world was with the Commodores, and they were making great plays, and yet K-State held them off, made better plays, made their free throws. And I thought that more than anything, this K-State basketball team has gotten over the hump about believing in themselves that they can win games that come down to the wire. And that USC, even a game against USC Upstate when K-State is such big favorites. And that's a good question, but I got to remind you that if you go back and watch the ORU game where K-State played a team that they were much better than at home, they just didn't really focus in, didn't play basketball with the level of intensity and respect you've got to have for the game. And because of it, they didn't show their best, and it's not a good thing to start letting get into your being. This team, though, bounced back against USC Upstate. I thought they played very well, continued it on, and now the younger guys are starting to come along. So it's no time to just do backflips and say K-State basketball is going to knock your drawers off and you know, watch out for third place in the Big 12. It's going to be the Wildcats. That's not so much what we're talking about. But the level of confidence that was achieved, the appreciation for how you have to show up every game, I thought this week was a big week. A Sunday game on the road, and then a midweek game, Wyatt. I really liked what I saw, not only for the resume, but also just for the team going forward.
Well, it's an interesting thing when you look at this team, and you mentioned those three juniors in their third year starting. And I think the coaches, and rightfully so, have thrown Xavier Sneed into that mix. I think the best part at this particular time of the season is that the coaches are comfortable with what those four guys are going to bring game in and game out for the most part. Now, it may be one night where Dean Wade shoots it really well and has 20, another night where he doesn't so much and has six. But in terms of just solid play, you know what you're going to get. Now the question becomes, what about everybody else? How consistent can they become around those four guys? Do you see it exactly that way?
Yes, absolutely, Wyatt. I do think the four are becoming more and more reliable. The consistency is something that we need to note. You can't take it for granted because you got four good players.
Sure.
And Xavier Sneed definitely needs to be included in the group, just like you said. But will all four of those guys bring a consistency level? And I think right now, if we focus in on that part of it first, three of the four really are doing that. And the one with the most potential, Dean Wade, is the one who's a little bit up and down right now. And so if he becomes even more consistent, I was said on the television broadcast the other night that I don't know why you shouldn't be able to mark him down for 12 points and 7 rebounds in every game.
Right.
That's kind of the minimum that he ought to produce every game. And if he were able to do something like that, then you bring on when he really plays well and does all the other things on defense and so forth. You know, that group, that four, you could say is pretty consistent. But I could say there's even a different level of consistency that can be achieved with Dean Wade easing his game into a more steady, consistent flow. Now, back to the other guys. Even with those four guys that we talked about, the main four playing better, well, consistently, you still need more to win a conference. And especially when you think about the missing piece of the five positions is on the inside. A number of guys can step in there, but what are they going to do? How are they going to contribute is going to be a big factor. And then you go out to the guard and you look at Cartier Jada. He can earn minutes, and the better he plays, that gives Kamau Stokes and Barry Brown minutes to rest.
Yeah.
Those guys are playing a little bit more than Coach Bruce Weber would like. They're doing a good job, but they're going to get worn down. They need to play in the low 30s, 30 minutes to 32 a game, rather than in the mid-30s, 35 minutes a game. Cartier Jada is the answer to that question. If he plays more consistently and is able to stand up to the high level of competition, then those guys get a little bit more rest. You have depth, and you're fresher at the end of the ballgame. On the inside, you know, what is Sala, Mayween, how are those guys going to produce? It's a real question mark, and I was very happy to see some of the things that Mayween did against USC Upstate. Wyatt, if he is able to capture that mid-range jumper and be a threat from 13 to 15 feet, then he gives defenses something to think about. Because he's not going to want to shoot very often, but most people think he's just going to shoot a very high percentage right at the rim, does a nice job catching the ball in there and has a coordination. But if he can step out, and Salah can step out 10 to 15 feet as well, if they can score some points from there, give you 2 to 6 points in the mid-range and change where the defense has to play you, that could really help the lanes for other guys making plays. So K-State, they're doing some things well, but I think you're right, Wyatt. Talk to me about the other four guys, how good they are, and that'll probably define how far K-State goes.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We remind you that our podcast weekly is brought to you by Briggs, the official Wildcat podcast presented by BriggsAuto.com, where they never match prices, they always beat them. BriggsAuto.com, longtime partner of K-State Athletics. By the K-State Superstore, customize your game day experience by shopping online at kstatesuperstore.com. K-State Superstore, official retailers of K-State Athletics. And Kansas Land Tire, from the freeway to the field and everywhere in between, Wildcat fans trust the friendly folks at Kansas Land Tire and Service for all their tire and auto service needs. Visit thetirestore.com for the Kansas Land Tire next near you. Well, up next for the Wildcats, a trip to Wichita. It is the fourth annual Wildcat Wichita Classic. And Stan, K-State in the first three, a double overtime loss to West Virginia right before they got into the Big 12, a victory against Gonzaga, and a victory against Colorado State. We don't know what Tulsa necessarily brings to the table other than a 4-4 record. And a guy that we're familiar with a little bit from his Big 12 days, head coach Frank Haith. This will be an interesting matchup on Saturday in Wichita.
It will, because they're going to play a matchup zone, and it always creates issues because it's part man-to-man, a lot of concepts of man-to-man, and just enough zone that you can't run your man-to-man offense efficiently. So the coaches have got to continually make decisions. Do we try to force playing man-to-man and see if we can get some open looks and not turn it over? Or do you play a zone? And then that sometimes you get too stuck and they're guarding you too closely with man-to-man concepts. So it always creates questions when a team plays a matchup zone. Interestingly enough, Upstate played K-State in the midweek game and they were playing a matchup zone, but they really never got into it. They caused K-State no trouble. The Wildcats were so good on offense, hitting their outside shots and doing everything well that you wouldn't have known it. I mean, you can't go back and look at the tape and go, look at Upstate play this matchup zone. K-State's going to be ready for it against Tulsa. Well, it didn't happen that way. The game unfolded. It was all Wildcats. Everything went well, and they really didn't have to deal with that matchup zone. So now you go into the Tulsa game without that experience, and you got to say, how's it going to work? Because you know Tulsa's going to be able to get into it. They have the talent to get it done. And we do know about Frank Haith as a coach. He'd done his work at Missouri, had them to be one of the top seeds in the NCAA tournament in his tenure there. So Tulsa's a dangerous team. It's not like having or West Virginia roll into town, into Wichita. You know, not that scary, but you better not mess around, because that game is a little bit, when you look at the geography of it, like Oklahoma playing Texas in the Cotton Bowl in football. It's in the state of Texas, but you know that it's equal distance from Oklahoma's campus there as it is to Austin, Texas, getting to Dallas. It crossed the state line, but really it's in the middle. It's a lot like that here. K-State's going to be driving south, and Tulsa's going to be driving northwest, and it's really not that far away. So it's a game where Tulsa feels very comfortable playing there. They feel like it's a neutral site game to them. There'll be more K-State fans, but this is a game that'll mean something. And Frank Haith as a coach will help, because he'll be able to reference to the Tulsa basketball players what it means to him. Having been in the Big 12, he knows what it's like to play against K-State, and a big opportunity for them. So it's a little bit like we spoke about UCLA. What if Tulsa plays their best? How good will they be? If they play like they have up and down all through the year, K-State will be the better basketball team. But if they play their best, will K-State be ready? I've been very happy, and I don't know how this has worked out so well, but Bruce Weber taking the Wildcats on a tour of either Kansas City or Wichita during his basketball season has turned out very well. The fans have come out. They made it a tough place to play, and K-State has responded very well. It took West Virginia to play great that day to win that game. Otherwise, K-State's been pretty flawless, winning neutral site games in Kansas City and Wichita. I hope the Wildcats bring it again, because if they do, Wyatt, we will now have said, this is a key thing, if we're talking after the game and the Wildcats played at a high level, responded to the crowd, and gave them a nice Christmas present, that would be three straight games of higher level basketball for K-State, and it'll be done in Nashville, Tennessee, Manhattan, Kansas, and Wichita. That's the kind of momentum I think is real. It's not just a bunch of home games and everything's going right during a stretch of season. That's real basketball. That's traveling, dealing with all the issues, different sites, different days playing the game, different environments. And if K-State basketball continues to play at the high level that we saw in the last two games, I think they may have shifted their expectations. And that locker room needs to believe. And this Wichita game becomes very important to make it three in a row.
Okay, a final thought on the program this week. And I guess it kind of concerns K-State basketball, but also the Big 12. We saw Kansas get upset at Sprint Center earlier this week, but we've also seen TCU get off to a great start. We've seen Texas Tech get off to a great start. Iowa State stumbles out of the gate, losing a couple, and now they've been real good. Oklahoma off to a great start with their new fabulous point guard, Trae Young. You have any sense or feel how good the Big 12 is, or do we really know yet?
Well, I think that they're building a resume, and we've been used to that, right? The Big 12 has been the number one RPI conference in, I think, three of the last 4 years.
Yeah.
So that really helps K-State. It's a weird sport. You play enough games, 35 or so, that there's a data set that you can really statistically look and analyze things, unlike football. And in college basketball, the games that you play against non-conference opponents set the tone, because you're going to play against each other and it's all going to balance out. Your conference schedule really doesn't matter as far as an overall RPI. It's what you do in non-conference. And this year, the whole group has helped each other out. So if you want to talk about a seventh team from the Big 12 getting in the NCAA tournament, they have created an environment that is possible. So that's the good news for K-State, because K-State's thought of a team that's going to try to make the NCAA tournament, be a bubble type team. We're really going to see how the season plays out. But every opportunity has been given to them, because other than Kansas getting upset at Sprint Center against Washington, the Big 12 has been pretty flawless. I mean, they've been doing some great work out there against non-conference opponents, and everyone seems to be playing good basketball. So that's the good news, okay? It's set up that if K-State does their work, they have a chance to get in the NCAA tournament. And it doesn't mean getting third place in the conference to be an NCAA tournament team. So that's all smiles and happiness for the point in December that we are. But the other side of it, Wyatt, that you bring up is, where are you going to get the wins in the conference this year?
Right.
I think the conference is really good in this aspect. There are no bad teams. There's no one you go, okay, you're going to struggle and be 10th. You got a new coach and a bunch of young players, and you're going to get 9th. And then these two teams are going to get 7th and 8th. And then the other six are going to battle it out for a position, or it should be 2-6, because Kansas wins the conference every year. I don't see that.
Yeah, I agree.
Where is the team? Iowa State lost to Missouri, and you go, oh, maybe Iowa State's got a lot of turnover. Maybe they'll struggle. Well, go look at their record. They're not struggling at all. They're playing at a very high level. Oklahoma State, Brad Underwood left. He was a one-year coach. Now they got an assistant stepping up, first-time head coach at OSU. Are they going to struggle? Well, go look at their record. They're doing just fine. And then you go to the top of a conference, and you have your Kansases of the world. You talked about a freshman point guard at OU. All he's doing is leading the country in scoring right now.
Exactly.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I think the conference is playing at a high level. Good news. But now, where are you going to find your wins? And that gets to be the scary part, because, it really is. When you look at a conference, they're your opponents. And you say, okay, we need to pick off those lower three. You're going to play 6 games against them. Hey, let's win 5 of 6 against that crew. And then, be 500 against the middle crew. And then get some upsets, big upsets against the best crew. And suddenly, you got a 500 or better conference record. You do a non-conference work in a big way. Your conference has a good RPI, and you're in the NCAA tournament. Well, right now, it is going to be exciting to watch the Big 12. It's going to be so competitive, Wyatt. Game after game, you're going to be looking around and say, who's going to win tonight? And I'm really waiting. The thing I don't know about is, how good are the teams going to be at holding home court?
Right.
That's the thing I can't figure out yet with non-conference play is – Who in Allen Fieldhouse, okay, KU, that they're going to have at most one loss at home, probably undefeated in the conference. I know how they're going to take care of home court. But you look at an Oklahoma team that has all the capabilities in the world of having that night and beating anybody and being a good basketball team. But are they going to take their home court and just wipe everybody out? That's what I don't know, because we got a lot of new players, a lot of new aspects to the conference and what's going on. They're high level. I'm impressed. But I'm really wondering, is it going to be a you know, is it going to be 60-40 when a team has a home game, or is it going to be 90-10? And some places are going to be that way. Where, and what's Bramley's going to be? Wyatt? I mean, is K-State going to come in and take care of business and say, you're not going to beat us in Bramley's very often, then we're going to go out and do some work at home? Who's going to be that team that allows others to come into their arena and win games? Even though they can go on the road and win some, that's going to be interesting, because they may slide a little bit further down the conference compared to someone who goes, at least we're going to win our home games and still be dangerous on the road.
So much to look forward to, and hard to believe, but conference play actually starts at the end of this month for sure. Wow, that's crazy. We again remind you, Saturday, the Wildcats in Wichita, 7 o'clock game. Ben and Stan will have the television call. Matt and I, the radio call, starting at 6 o'clock. If you can't be there, either watch or listen. That's going to wrap up the Wildcat podcast for this week. It's brought to you by BriggsAuto.com, by the K-State Superstore, and by Kansas Land Tire. For partner Stan Weber, I'm Wyatt Thompson. Thanks so much for listening, and go Cats.
This has been the official Wildcat podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group, the K-State Superstore, and Kansas Land Tire. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.